Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Talking about chicken a la king, mango and garbanzo tabbouleh, little potatoes and vegetables with roasted garlic and basil, zucchini ziti, granola fruit bar. Yeah. Look at all this beautiful food.
Welcome to Green Eggs and Dan, the podcast where I interview amazing humans with amazing minds, but all we care about is what is in their bellies. My guest today is one of the few people in my life who is my comedy BFF and my real life BFF. An amazing, funny stand-up comic. You can see him regularly at the Comedy Cellar in New York City. He's written for The Nightly Show with Larry Wilmore on Comedy Central, the show Divorce on HBO, and he's one of the best dining partners I have ever had. Please. Welcome, Jordan Carlos.
Thank you.
Yes.
What a buildup.
I meant it all.
I'm one of the best dining partners you've ever had?
Absolutely.
I appreciate that, Dan. That means a lot, because you are a huge foodie. I know that you sent a video, it was like, of you on vacation, is like me going to the number one restaurant in the world. It's like, oh, okay. You know, but to know that you wouldn't mind sitting across from me as we dine and I drop things with my fork.
I think you're cool. This might be a backhanded compliment because you're one of my favorite dining partners because you always agree to go wherever I want to go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's basically it.
That's
from Buffalo
it
Wild Wings to Le Cirque. I'll do it all, man. No, it's just the experience of being with you. Remember the time that you pretended in Brazil to be a food critic and you got us a free meal? Was it in São Paulo or Rio de Janeiro?
Okay, this is taking a turn for the worst. Yes, it was. I think it was a scam. Yeah, we were trying to get into a place. And I said I was a food reviewer for the New York Times.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is in the age of Google. Yeah. They could have easily Googled this.
Yeah. And they're like, "Whoa, New York Times, come have a fish water." We did go to Rio together, actually.
Yes.
We had some fantastic food in Rio.
We had some really good, we had some good guaya and the fonji foing. I can't remember the names, but we went to this.
There was the guasas yeso and the vogas yeto.
No, whatever it is, it sounds beautiful.
Actually, you know what it was? Okay, there was a couple of highlights for me.
Yes.
There was the buchkin. So buchkins are like these old school little like hole in the wall places where like old men sit around, watch soccer, complain about their wives, and like have fried foods and like a really light beer called Chopi.
Well, it depends on what area in Brazil you're in. In São Paulo, they call it Chopi.
Yeah,
but in Rio, it's Chop. So it's like, don't get it wrong. I remember whenever we go someplace, it'd be like, it's Chop. Or it's Chopi. I was like, just give me the beer, please.
Yeah.
Please.
It's enough that we fucking know the first four letters.
Yeah. We're ugly Americans. Give us the beer.
But cheap beer, very light beer.
Yes.
They're just a fun experience, right?
Yeah. It was a wonderful, I'll always remember the food in Brazil. It was like so good. And the buchiquins. We would just
pan de queijo. Remember that?
What's pan de queijo?
Pan de queijo was a.
Oh, this cheese and bread.
Yeah, no, it was that cheesy bread though. It's like a bread that they make and they cook it with the cheese inside, so it's like bready, but also like has like melted cheese. But you can't see the cheese. It's like gets into. So it's like just
see your memory for food. That's probably wasted. Remember we went to that one Bossa Nova place and we're like, let's get out of here.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. We're like, it was a restaurant and everybody was much older than us and we're like, we have to leave. The food.
I don't know if you remember, but the romance of Brazil, the romance of what I thought Brazil was going to be and what it ended up being was just awful. Because I was like, I love Bossa Nova more than anything in life. And I was like, I'm going to go there. Sorry. Every street corner is going to have, you know, a guy with his little guitar and a lady singing and just like serenading us. And it's going to be beautiful. And we get there. And I remember right away, I think we asked them, like, where can we listen to Bossa Nova? And they're like, Bossa Nova, that's for the old people.
Yeah.
We don't listen to Bossa Nova. This is what we listen to. And they played like awful Brazilian hip hop. I was like, oh my God, you guys have the most, you guys were handed the most beautiful musical culture and you threw it away for this shit.
Yeah, they just drove the Bugatti right off the Corcovado, which is the hunchback. Everybody, yeah, we had a although I remember we had
Jordan's just going to share his fun facts.
What was the drink that we it was
Caipirinha?
Not Caipirinha. It's almost like their vodka. It's like,
oh yes, it was it was some sort of sugar caney thing.
Yeah,
no?
yeah and we had it at the old that old bar way up on the hill, and you were like, this is the most Brazilian we'll ever be. And then,
That was one of the more magical places I've ever eaten in my life. It was like on the top of a hill in a random little town.
Yes.
I'm going to track that down and put a link to it somewhere on this.
It's called, I mean, we went to two. We were sent to Teresa, and then we went, and that same day we went to this bar where only men, this is sounding so misogynist, but only men.
Only the men.
Only the men.
Only the men.
Oh, what a great place. Their values are awesome.
It was our favorite restaurant.
Oh, I could just really relax.
You can't do that after I say it was my favorite restaurant I've ever been to in my life. You're like, yes, Dan, you're right. It was the one where they didn't allow women.
No, I think you're misremembering, because there was a restaurant we went to in Santa Teresa, and then another point, there was a bar that was in the same area at nightfall that we went to, where we had the cachaça.
Yes.
Which almost sounds like Mufasa, because you get the feels whenever you hear it.
But the bar was like it was like we were in midnight in Rio.
Yes.
It was like midnight in Paris. Like we literally were transformed to another era.
It was another era. It was another era completely.
If Hemingway was in the corner writing, I would not have been surprised.
Yes, where women couldn't be in bars.
Women
weren't
allowed.
That's basically what that was the time travel.
Before we get to more things,
yes,
just put a pin in the fact that you're probably one of the most voracious eaters.
Oh, thank you.
No, not in a good way.
What do you mean?
You're literally, no one will ever...
You put it in front of me and I'm gonna eat it.
No, yeah, no one will ever... You'll be so full.
Yes.
And I'll be like, dude, do you want the rest of mine? And you'll be like, oh, fine.
Yeah.
And you'll begrudgingly, not even begrudgingly, no, glad... Like, it's a bottomless pit in there.
It is, because I know that we're spending $300. So, like, you act like a little French prince. You're like, oh, take it away. And I'm like, no, bring it to me. Like, I'm going to get every... It's ROI, baby. I'm putting the money out. It's going to be inside me. And I like it to be in there, you know, as long as possible. I'm like, oh, my God, I have foie gras in me right now.
I got that foie gras.
I got that foie gras. I've got, like, foie gras energy walking these streets with a swag.
Yeah.
And some people are just like, I've got a burger in me. I'm like, no, oh, it's terrible. It's all about the fuel.
You know that foie is illegal now in California.
Excuse me?
On peut pas manger de la foie gras à California.
Really?
Yeah.
No more force-fed livers of a goose?
My God.
I mean, how much time did people have on their hands back in the day? They're like, yeah, keep feeding it, Henri. Do it.
Yeah, how did they know that it was going to like make its liver taste delicious? I think just an experiment?
I guess. I mean, Jean-Luc and Henri, I mean, livers are good anyway, right?
Yes,
those are
fantastic.
Good anyway. But like, they're like, what if we stuff it with nuts and walnuts and berries? And they just stuck a pike down its throat. You know, the goose is like, oh, you know, you just had time a la campagna on the campagna. Farm.
Yeah.
Doing your thing, you know?
Yeah. It was an easier time. Women weren't allowed on the farm.
Would you just stop?
Sorry.
Okay. They were.
Let's look into your fridge. I got some pictures of your fridge here.
No, it doesn't. It's great from the outside.
By the way, Jordan's fridge is going to be posted on my Instagram page at StandUpDan. A lot of people don't know that they're going to be posted, so they really don't give it any effort, which is clear from this picture. Okay, I've got a couple bones to pick.
Please.
Is that a hot half avocado?
Yeah, it's a half avocado. That's a half avocado.
Avocado, not covered.
Yeah.
Next to a half a lemon, not covered. Is that like the 99-cent store? They just sell you halves?
Yeah, in deepest Brooklyn, they sell you half of whatever you want. They're like, give me one fruit loop. And they're like, all right, hold out your hand.
Yeah.
Listen.
You went to the store and you were like, can I get something half off? They're like, oh, you want half off? And you got like really pissed. He's like, here you go, half off. And
you just
chopped them in half.
Okay. Yeah, you know what? All right.
I'm sorry for that.
You don't
accent.
Have to put everything in a hermetically sealed container. Oh, God. All right? It doesn't matter.
No, I actually have half cut.
You don't have to backpedal now.
But then you have tangerines in a bowl in the fridge.
I didn't do that. My wife did that. And those are clementines. All
clementines.
Right? So get it together.
By the way, Alina, thrown under the bus right away by your husband. Oh my God.
I just wanted to be clear what they are. You're going to get letters.
Is Alina your wife or the dog?
Alina is my. Very much my wife.
I love Alina.
There's cage-free eggs in there.
Cage-free.
Okay.
No cage for those eggs.
I didn't show you.
The chickens were in a cage, but once they laid the eggs, the eggs were taken out of the cage.
Wow.
The cage-free.
The cage-free eggs.
You have a lot of applesauce, Jordan.
Yeah, I got kids. What do you think?
Is that a thing that kids eat?
Yes.
Really?
That's most of what their fuel.
And you got that basic-ass Mott's. Mott's applesauce. I'm surprised.
Yeah, after a while.
I'm surprised that you don't have like,
organic.
This is
pure.
From the farmer's market. We get these apples.
Dewy fresh.
We.
No, after a while, you do that at first.
We hand mash the apples.
Oh my God.
And then when the full moon comes out.
Uh-huh. The blood moon. Yes.
When the blood moon comes out.
Yes. I mean,
we
listen.
Turn it into sauce.
On a long enough timeline, you find yourself being like, screw it. I'm getting Mott's for this kid. You know what? I had Mott's and I'm fine.
You got oat milk. You got some oat milk.
That was a surprise.
Oh, really?
I don't like the tree stuff.
Really?
No.
Yeah, all the kids are drinking the oat milk.
Ugh, gross.
It's less gross than the others, though.
I don't drink milk because I'm an adult. The thing about milk, what other animal drinks milk
fired
in their adulthood?
Hold on. It's time for a word from our sponsor. the U.S. Milk Association.
Oh, really? Oh, no.
Yeah, we're sponsored by Big Milk.
Oh, I see.
Thank you, Big Milk.
Are you telling me some grown-ass grizzly bear is hunting down its mother? Like, can I get some of that milk, though, Mom? For my coffee? No.
Yes. We should take our living advice from how grizzly bears live their lives. Why don't you go through the garbage?
Other animal.
Why don't you go through the garbage and maul some fucking
I'm not wrong.
Guy
okay?
who's making
no
a
other
documentary.
Animal does this. That's why we have, rip terrible craps. And like have gas. And
yeah,
like,
bro.
Why am I bloated?
No other animal has AC either. All right, we invented that shit.
Right.
We're allowed to do whatever the fuck we want.
I don't even know what side of the argument you're on
I
right
don't
now.
Either.
But I'm just saying that I don't do milk, and I feel great, and I'm better than other people.
Yeah,
that's,
I get that.
That's mainly the takeaway from that.
So you don't do any of the milk.
Why would you do milk? Do
it's
you
delicious.
Actually you drink milk? You drink milk in your coffee, and then you wonder why? Like you're like, why can't I lose the weight that I want? Why can't I have the body that I want?
What are you talking about? I'm very happy with my body. Stop trying to
no,
body shame me.
No, he's not.
Yes, I am.
No, he's not. You're always drawing your problem areas. In Crayola.
Yeah, I'm my own sorority. I just fat shame myself in the morning with my red Sharpie.
I'm literally projecting like everything about like. I quit milk, so now it's now everybody's sin.
You have a weird food thing you're doing now, though. Like, because you were over at my place, and
yeah.
I was like, you want some cereal? And you're like, oh, wait.
I'm doing the whole 30.
The grains?
It's a dumb, basic diet. I feel great. I ran from the subway up here. Old man's. I'm 41 years old.
What is the diet? What is the diet?
Imagine any fun food, and you can't have it.
Oh, yeah.
So imagine any boring food, and you can have it. So if it's like, if it's just... bird seeds, like more. You know?
What about halfway foods? Like for me, okra, fun food, healthy food.
Okra, yeah, totally. Okra. I've been eating okra like my whole life.
You
that's
know,
like that's one of those like foods black people have been eating for a long time that white people are like, oh, okra, look at this. We discovered it.
First of all, I'll have you know that Persians have a stew with okra.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. on the door of your fridge.
I have soy vey.
Yeah, soy vey.
I have many condiments.
What
I have
is soy vey.
Soy vey is soy sauce. With a Jewish twist. I don't know what the twist is exactly. But it's soy vey. And it's like...
What is it? Is it...
Look it up. Look, we have very smart phones.
No.
We use it as a base, like a way to base
soy
things.
Soy vey.
Yeah.
It has a Jewish touch to it. And
I didn't
know
say...
What
I said a Jewish twist.
Touch.
That sounds gross.
It has a Jewish twist. Why? What is it? Will it give you measles?
No. What? Oh, my God. What is the matter with you?
The Chassids have measles.
Okay. That is just... That is blaming a sect.
I am part of that sect. I am allowed to talk about
okay.
that sect.
You know,
all right. All I'm saying
is super uncomfortable.
I'm happy to not be that religious during this outbreak.
Oh my God! All right. Okay, it's Chinese Japanese cuisine. It's a marinade. It's these two people. They're really cool. So it's teriyaki.
Chinese Japanese cuisine. Oh, so basically it's just like an ignorant old Jewish lady. Do you want the Chinese Japanese food? I don't know.
There was a couple, right? That they were. Hold on. Stand by.
Soybe.
Wonton nachos.
It's
they
a
won't
very
tell me the
racist
story.
Name.
Soybe. It's just a really good marinade to put on meats and sauces and things.
Since 1982, Soyvay has perfected their homemade signature sauces using only the finest ingredients.
Who is that? Harvey Firestein?
That's Frank Vay from Soyvay.
Yeah, I think it was a couple that got together, Asian and Jewish descent, and they made this sauce, like a marinade together.
Oh, got it.
And it's really, really good. Soyvay. So we love it on salmon. Salmon, it's amazing. Bang. You just put it, you put that in a seal it in a little Glad bag or whatever you want, leave it overnight, a little pre-prep, and then you, and then you 350 for 30 minutes, you know what I'm saying?
You've been cooking a lot lately, JC?
That's all we do. We cook about 5 days a week, baby.
Really?
Can't take my son to the restaurant. What are you out of your mind?
So you only go out to eat when I feel like, because whenever I'm...
I have a two-year-old.
Whenever I come to New York...
Yes?
We always go...
I immediately...
I set up epic meals.
Yeah.
And we go ham. We go nuts.
We do. We go
last ham. Time we had a dinner at Altra Paradiso.
Oh.
Remember that?
Yes.
And you had to leave midway to go to a show.
I did.
At NYU.
Yes.
And we made fun of you after you left.
Great. I mean, that's good. That's
what you got.
Well, thank you.
I'm
sure it ratcheted up and the dolphins came out and there were lasers. I missed it. It was a good time.
Ten minutes after you left.
Right.
My favorite David Tell joke.
Right, right. Oh, man, you missed it. So that was such a good meal.
Yes.
But we go ham every time because it gets me out of the house, Dan.
Yes.
I'm stuck in a house with my family who I love.
Yes. And you like to poke fun. You like to poke fun at my restaurant choices sometimes.
Well, because you don't pick like regular. We can never just go to a bistro or a brasserie. You have to pick a place called Oxford Comma, and like you have to take a barge across the Gowanus on the River Styx to a man and give him 3 gold guilders, which will open up a vault. And by the way, that's not the restaurant. That's the waiting area. The restaurant's in Harlem, and you go there. And it's lit by the light of one candle, just one candle. And they're always like, have you been to Oxford Comma? I'm like, no. They're like, oh, we do things a little differently at Oxford Comma. Really? Do I cook? No. Okay. They always do things a little differently, right?
Yeah.
They always do things a little differently.
Yes.
And I'm like, is it small plates? They're like, no. Big plates. Small forks. What? You have to share a fork with the person next to you at the table over. It's terrible. But those kind of places, and it's always like the person waiting on us is some guy named Ethan that went to Oberlin or something like that, you know? And like, it's just, he has tattoos of the things he wants to do in life. There's like a knife on his finger and scissors on his wrist, you know, like all that stuff. I'm like, okay, Ethan. Ethan will bring out the menu. It'll be like, our menu's a little bit different. I'm like, okay, is it ink and paper? I think I can figure it out. It's a Sudoku puzzle. If you want to eat your meal, you have to figure out the Sudoku puzzle you're not going to eat. And I just love the places we go. We go there, and they're like, first of all,
I'm loving
they
Oxford
don't take
comma,
reservations.
By the way. I'm loving Oxford comma.
Oxford comma. I love those places. We'll go, and they're like, it's a 9.5 hour wait. Just like with no irony.
Yes.
And you're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. To Instagram the meal, we have to stay. Cancel all your plans tomorrow. None of us are sleeping.
Oh my God.
We go to these. Why do you do this to us? Then they don't feed us. They don't. They're like, okay, I'll have that. They're like, you're going to want like 4 entrees.
Yeah. Yes. We suggest 17 entrees between the two of you.
Between the two of you.
That is the right. I hate it when they tell you how much shit you need to order.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
Why didn't you say it at the outset? Why don't you put our plates are small. Our portions are small.
Oh my God. There's a restaurant in San Francisco.
I'm sure there is.
Called Kren. Dominique Kren is the chef. And actually, she's the only.
That's a Pixar cartoon character. Kren. That's not real.
It's real.
Okay.
She's actually the only only female 3-star Michelin chef in America.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm listening.
Yes. However,
tell me about Dominique Kren.
Her menu is a poem.
Oh, God.
It's literally like, to start, an ocean breeze wafts off of the bay.
No.
Past the trees.
No.
Tickling the pine needles on its way. And it's like, is this a soup or is something cooked under pine trees? What the fuck? What am I going to have?
And it's always a bed of some green that, like, they're always like, it's on a bed of Lispinard leaves. And you're like, what? Oh, I've had those because you don't want to seem uncool.
Yeah.
I had them all the time.
There's a lot of weird named greens. Lovage? I'm coming after you, Lovage.
Ooh. No,
you didn't. Is Lovage?
Lovage is, you know, yeah. It's, I think Little Gem is having a moment.
Little Gem?
Mm-hmm.
Weird name for a green.
I want to be an agent for greens, like in Hollywood. Just like book greens at restaurants. That's going to be me. I'll be like, hey, ramps.
Ramps.
You can't have ramps. Tell you what you can have. You can have Little Diamond, Little Green. You can have Girolamo en route.
And we got a whole bushel of Frankie Johnny. I'm sorry.
What's the last leaf?
It's called a Frankie Johnny. You're going to love a Frankie Johnny.
I'm just naming streets in Brooklyn, by the way. Funny looking streets. Girolamo Street. Anybody ever been to Girolamo? Oh, that is a funny ass name street.
Not a podcast about
street. Oh, sorry.
Names.
There's a great restaurant called the River Deli there.
There we go.
So
tell me
about it. I took my mom there. It was a hot day. It was great. Like, it's like, so, it's wonderfully plated Italian courses that evoke a time when black people couldn't be in the restaurant. Oh, I don't know.
A twist.
Oh, sweet segregation. They're made on plates that are, that obviously come from either Ellis Island or like the Titanic. They're like, the plates are all chipped. And like, you know, old timey, and like, it's cool. And none of the forks are match, you know.
Plates are having a comeback.
Plates are
like, these ceramic companies are like, we make this in our kiln. Our kiln is from 1764, and it's only $330 for a side plate. And it comes in a set of 30. So we have payment plans. We do home equity.
I can't do it. I mean, I cook for my family. We are short ordered cooks in my house.
Oh yeah.
Like I'll make let's see, this week I made.
You have
like,
IKEA? You got IKEA plates and stuff?
We have IKEA for the kids, mm-hmm. stoneware for the kids, but we have like nicer stuff like CB2 that we eat on.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the kids, because my son is like Genghis Khan, and he'll be like, ah! And like throw plates and cups and stuff like that. He's terrifying. But he loves macaroni and cheese with bacon, so I make him that. Like, get him the Boar's Head bacon going.
I love it.
Sizzle that up, and they're always like, more water, more bread, more. They're New York children, so they don't know how to say please.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is, this is really a cry for help. <It's> like, I have all clad. I got Le Creuset in my kitchen.
Oh,
so
shit.
So we're definitely like, we got stuff on burner one and burner two. I'm like, how are those carrots coming along? My wife's like, on it like a bonnet. You know, and she's like chopping it up, prepping, throwing it in the pan, little olive oil. You know, I'm like,
I love it.
Where's the brown rice? She's like, come on up, Jesus Christ. You know. So we get that going.
You
for
got
them.
A bell? Ding.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's great. And I'm like kind of sweating coming out of the kitchen. Have my towel, like telling the kids what's on the docket.
Your hairnet on.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They love it. You know,
yeah.
I got my tats and everything like that. My asymmetrical knife, which is next to my children's names. I gain like 30 pounds for the meal.
Yeah.
As the chef, then I like take it off. Anyway,
I love it.
I just want to be a chef. I think I kind of want to be a chef. I think
it's
deep
very
down.
Sexy. It's very sexy.
Yeah.
To be a chef. I don't know if it's as sexy as it used to be. It had its heyday.
What are you talking about?
I feel like it's not, I don't know.
Jesse? It's not cool to be a chef anymore.
Jesse, is it as sexy to be a chef as it was like 10 years ago? When like Anthony Bourdain started coming out and everything, it was like, this is cool. And then it was like, oh, wait, it leads to suicide.
What?
Now that he's dead. Now, yeah, now that it's over.
It's done. We're done with that scene. So what's next? In the restaurant world, what's the hot thing now? Food trucks? No, that was hot.
What's the hot thing?
Food cars?
I think shishito peppers are having a moment.
I like anybody, like, you know when people like,
I like
a
the Russian roulette aspect of a shishito pepper.
Oh.
They're like, here you go. Here's 10 shishito peppers. 9 of them completely mild. 1 of them is going to ruin your fucking night.
Really?
Oh, yeah, dude.
See, I got to eat with you more often, dude.
Oh, shishitos are great. It's like, it's a fucking, it's Russian roulette with your taste buds.
But you like, you magically never have food in your, you have like gourmand food in your fridge. You don't have the stuff that can make more stuff.
No.
You have like.
I have.
You have
saffron threads.
Yes.
So a half a log of pâté de campagne.
Oh my god! Yeah, when I go to your house, I'm starving, and you know I eat all your food. All your food.
Oh my god! The funny thing is that
I'm a fungus.
Persian culture, there's something called taaruf, which is you always offer someone something, even if like you don't really mean it. You just offer it, and their Persians are supposed to say no, it's okay, I don't want it, even if they want it. So it's like an awful game of like you never know what someone actually wants.
Mm-hmm.
So whenever Jordan comes over, my parents will be like, yeah, you want some food? And he's like, yeah, that's cool. Yeah, I'll take steak, Mr. Dude.
No, but
and also, you got a lamb shank? Great. No, you can thaw it.
Your mom could cook it up.
I'll wait.
Yeah, she could cook it up. It is where I come from in Texas, it's rude not to accept an offer of food.
Ah.
So you take anyone's food. Anybody's potato salad, collard greens, brisket, whatever. Even if they got like cold leftovers, you eat it.
Can we talk Texas a little bit?
Please.
I was in Austin recently, and I usually... Hold on.
Do people from the East know any other place in Texas besides Austin? It is... By the way, we built it for you, okay? It's basically the Times Square of Texas.
What I was going to say is I hated the food.
If you don't like it, yeah, okay.
Just kidding. I loved it. Right. And here was something that I loved. I normally love to poo-poo on like the hipsterification of food, like hipster restaurants and this and that. I think the hipsterification of Texas food, which is kind of what you see in Austin, I don't see anything wrong with it. It's like taking these old school Texas things and they're like, okay, instead of having a cow that was just fucking prodded and like, you know, made paraplegic so it didn't move, like these we used good cows to make this barbecue, and it's fucking delicious.
Well, that was a time when you had to use good cows, right? So industrialization made it like the prodding and stuff. But we've gotten back to the simple. So you went to Lockhart?
Yes.
Okay, you went to Lockhart. Yes. You waited in a long-ass line and things like that. See, you could have gone to Coulter's. Had the same thing.
Yeah.
There's some very other cool places in Texas, and don't say Marfa. There's
Marfa.
I think
the Prada store in Marfa.
Please stop.
It's the best.
There's Fort Worth is really cool. Great barbecue. Dallas has really good barbecue as well. But Dallas is not a tourist city at all. No one ever says, me and the family, we jump in the car, we drove to Dallas. Not at all. That's not a destination.
Right.
People are always like, I went there for work. Yeah. If I didn't go, I would be fired. So
is there a good food culture in Dallas?
It's great food culture, but we're not like, you know, not cool like Austin. You know, we have the same stuff. Okay, is this recording me?
We are sponsored by...
We have the same... You can get the exact same stuff, and there's no lines, okay? And
Salt Lick? What do you think about the Salt Lick?
It's... whatever. We've got... You go to Records Barbecue, okay? You want to go to Sonny Bryan's or Records Barbecue. Records Barbecue...
You literally just told me there's no reason to go to fucking Dallas, and now you're like, you gotta come or Sonny Brolin's.
No, okay. No, Bryan's, not Brolin's. Okay, you know what? I take it back. There is a reason. And I have a chip on my shoulder because everybody thinks Austin is so cool. It's like they're like the cool kid. They're like the Chad. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Second to Marfa.
Yeah. Austin. Stop talking about Marfa. Marfa is a nothing place. It is a podunk town in the middle with
artists. All right.
I can focus there and do my paintings.
Oh, my God.
And collect my trust fund check.
I'm going to take hostages pretty soon. All right? You have to understand that. You know what? It should be our secret, but I will say this. All right? Dallas has Records Barbecue. Records Barbecue does amazing porcine pork barbecue.
Really?
Yes.
Because Texas is normally known for their beef barbecue, mm-hmm. right?
But we do pork there, okay? Family, friends.
Is this when your kids have like a question about something? Is this how you
yes,
do it?
Yes,
like,
I do.
You fucking idiot.
No. Yes. A rhombus is the following. When you and I could go there, it's on Illinois Avenue in Oak Cliff, all right? That's okay. where they caught Lee Harvey Oswald.
Oh, fun fact.
Now, thank you. That is basically the geography of my city is where different events from JFK's assassination took place.
Yeah. So, there's a great ramen joint where the second bullet hit.
Yeah.
Right there.
There's a place called the Overpass. You got to go to Saputo's Bar. Actually, Sonny Bryant's is near Parkland Hospital where they took Kennedy. I'm sure some of the doctors, after they were like, we tried our best, went down and got a rack of ribs at Sonny Bryant's. They have assigned seating there, which is really cool. So it's like you have your name on the back of your chair. If you eat there enough, you get a plaque. Yeah, and then you get a defibrillator. But
yeah, and you get plaque in your heart.
plaque in your heart. So, Records Barbecue is great. It's needle scratch. I would have to bring you in.
I love it. I would love to.
There'd be like Bobby Blue Bland. Like playing in the background, the thrill is gone. The thrill is gone away. And you're like,
I've come here for the barbecue.
You'd have your fucking NPR tote bag on. Be like, he's okay. He's one of the good ones.
It's okay.
He gave Beto money. Let him have a rack.
Oh, man. And we have links to all the restaurants that we name in this podcast on the Instagram, which is my Instagram, at StandUpDan. Back to Jordan in a second, but first, cachaça is Brazil's most consumed spirit. Annually, the world outside Brazil consumes 1.5 million liters of it, but Brazil yearly consumes 1.5 billion liters. Either way, it is delicious. Mix it with a little sugar, a lot of limes, and you've got Brazil's national drink, the caipirinha. And if you want to show off to your foodie friends at a pretentious dinner party, let them know that the difference between rum and cachaça is that rum is distilled from molasses, whereas cachaça is pure sugarcane. Then drink enough caipirinhas until you forget the difference.
Spin your passion into a business with Shopify and break sales records with the world's best converting checkout. Let's hear that one more time. The world's best converting checkout. Shopify's legendary checkout makes it easier for customers to shop on your website, across social media, and everywhere in between. Now that's music to your ears. Any way you spin it, you can be a smash hit with Shopify. Start your dollar a month trial today at shopify.com/records.
Jordan,
mm-hmm.
we are on to the rapid fire question
please.
Part. I don't have a name for this. Yeah. We can't call it quick fire because that's Top Chef.
Oh,
but I'd like to come
up
with a name with the guest. What do you think we should call it?
Microwave.
Microwave. It's time for a microwave.
Or hot plate. I don't know.
A hot plate.
Yeah.
All right, let's hot plate it.
You could do it microondas. You know what microondas is? Microwave in Spanish.
Oh my God.
It just sounds sexy, doesn't it?
I know so many things. I speak different languages.
I do. For those listening, sorry, taken, 11 years married.
What is your earliest food memory? Not from 2019. From in the day when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore.
Back in the day, my mom used to make pizza for these house parties that they would have. Mm-hmm. And I had a girlfriend named Kim Young. Woo! We were 4 years old. We showed each other our booties. And
wait, hold on.
Yes?
You're just going to gloss over that? You showed each other your butts?
Yeah, that was like sex back then.
Oh my God.
We would rub butts together.
You rub butts?
Am I alone? Yeah, we would show each other. You show each other your gems.
Oh, Jesse, you were rubbing butts?
Five. Yeah.
What?
Well, I mean, I had no latency period. I knew.
I couldn't do that because I was a little Persian boy, had a hairy butt. Couldn't show it off at age four.
The friction's even better, baby. You know, what's pleasing to the butt is not always pleasing to the eye. Whew. I would. You should have been like, "Give me a minute."
Only Jordan Carlos. Yeah. I asked him, "What's your earliest food memory?" And we somehow end up on.
So I had my 4-year-old butt rubbing against Lil Melanie's
fertile butt.
What was the fucking food, Jordan? Pizza? Next question.
My mom would
Jesus
make,
Christ.
My mom would make the pizza, and it was so good. She made it.
She had the stone? Did she have the stone?
Or
no,
she man. We lived in a tiny apartment. My dad's practice was just starting up. Mm-hmm. So we lived in this like little apartment, and she would make it on this wonderful little cutting board. I remember, and
she put it in the she'd make it in the oven.
She made it in the oven.
Oh, very
yeah,
cute.
It was Pillsbury dough. She didn't make it from scratch. It was like the early '80s when people were like, "Yeah, I guess I gotta get the Pillsbury from the grocery store. How do I make dough?" You know, so like, we'd literally there'd been like this erasure of like understanding how to make things from scratch, and my mother was part of that. But now she makes things from scratch. So anyway, we had the pizza, and I just remember like having a couple slices with Kim Young on the coffee table. You know what I'm saying? With my girl, my boo. Honestly, if we could have gotten married at 4 or 5.
That was delicious, Mom. Now Kim and I are going to go rub butts together.
Well, I show her my X-Wing fighter. And I don't mean my penis. All right, I meant literally the X-Wing fighter because it lit up. Yeah, anyway.
Okay.
It looked like a dick.
What is your death row meal, JC?
Death row meal?
Yeah. You're on death row. You got caught for rubbing your butt on little children's butts.
Surf and turf, wash it down with fried bucket of KFC.
Surf and turf steak and lobster? What?
Steak and lobster, what kind baby. Of
surf? Oh, my God. I had a surf and turf the other night at Frenchette, which is Riyad Nasser's new restaurant.
I know. I've eaten there before with Sarah Jessica Parker. Move on.
Dun, 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 dun.
Well,
meanwhile, downtown.
No, I really did eat there with Sarah Jessica Parker because I worked with her. So she
on divorce.
Yeah, we talked about candy. She's like the coolest lady.
Oh, SJP. She's just like us.
But
they had a surf and turf that was lamb.
Why won't you let me be great?
It was veal tongue.
Okay.
And mackerel.
Technically.
Surf and turf.
Technically.
It was probably the most delicious dish of the night.
That's what I love about you. You eat these things that people ate like in the Renaissance.
If I don't get gout in the next like couple of years, I don't know what I'm doing.
How do you
wrong.
Relate to anybody about what you ate? I had the tongue. Bring to me the tongue of a goat.
A bowl of eels. They loved eels in the Renaissance.
They did love
eels. In a lot of Renaissance paintings, you see a lot of eels. That was like the king. That was like, it's celebration time. Bring me eels.
The most slippery thing ever. And you know, there was not only eels, but they like to recreate and repurpose food, right? So it would be like, you can't have, they would take like steak and make it into, like they would take meat and make it into a cake. Like fashion it into the shape of a cake, usually for Lent.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they would fashion it into other things. That's how much money and time they had. They're like, yeah.
So good.
It was so great. So good. I wish. Oh, feudalism. Oh man.
That would have been my time.
It had its charms.
Got it. So serve and turf. Best high-end meal you've ever had?
Best high-end meal I've ever had. Probably the Cote de Boeuf at Balthazar.
Nice one.
For two, when I got my first raise at my job when I worked in advertising, I took my then girlfriend, now wife, out. I was like, do you want to get a little dinner with me? She's like, absolutely, let's go. I know where to go. I know what to get. And I was like, and I like basically spent my raise. It was Cote de Boeuf.
That goes down as one of the best steaks I've ever had in the city as
That's
well.
That's great.
The Cote de Boeuf for two.
Yes.
Do they still do it?
I hope.
I don't know.
It's like $98.
I went with Paloma, my girlfriend at the time.
Oh, yeah.
Who was a hostess at Balthazar.
Yes, that's right. We both dated hostesses
from Keith McNally's restaurants.
Shout out to Keith McNally. Appreciate it.
Thank you. What is the best low-end meal you've ever had?
Woo! Oh, man. I've had some grimy ones.
Yeah.
I've had some grimy.
You are a grimy eater.
I'm a grimy dude. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. I go anywhere like where the cabbies eat, that's me.
Yes.
So like
I was talking to Hassan about these places. Hassan Minhaj was on the podcast. We were talking about the little Pakistani joints that the cabbies go to.
Oh, you got to. There's a Yemeni spot on Atlantic Avenue. I can't remember the name of it right now. But I'd never had Yemeni food.
Hmm.
What
is it like?
It's as though
bread based, rice based?
It's rice based. But it's like if you took spicy, like the spiciest Mexican food, and like cross that with food from the Middle East. Ooh. That's what it is.
Fun.
And it is so good. And
Do you know the name of the place? We'll give it a shout out.
We can look it up. It's on Atlantic Avenue. I mean, there's probably not that many Yemeni joints between here.
Well, okay, we'll look it up.
We'll look it up.
Tim will look it up. Tim will look it up.
But it was really cool. It's subterranean. It's like, and it's it's all cabbies. And I kept being like, giving the nod, like, I know. Hello, guys.
Yeah. Is that it?
It's Hadramaut.
What is it?
Hadramaut.
Shout out to Hadramaut.
Shout out
to
Hadramaut. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
More in your Hadramaut, dude. It was so, it's delicious. Wow. It was one of those ones where I was like, I was with Judah Friedlander.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, he's a grimy dude. I can get grimy. Yeah. I just, oh, we were so gross by the end of it.
I love it. That's good grime. Like, that's a good little meal. Oh, I'm going to love going down this rabbit hole with you.
Please.
What is your restaurant pet peeve?
Restaurant pet peeve.
I feel like that's all we've been talking about. What is a good, what is your restaurant pet
thinking
peeve?
You can seat me next to the bathroom.
Oh, you don't like the seat next to the bathroom. I hate the seat next to the bathroom.
No, absolutely. It's like the seat next to the bathroom on a plane. It smells. You're just waiting for the fart smell to waft out
there.
It's
awful.
And it's terrible. And I don't want it. And no thank you.
The last time I sat close to a bathroom was with you.
Exactly.
When we were at Olmsted in Brooklyn.
Yes.
Remember?
That was because it was a large number of people. Right?
That was, and that's where the big table
and they
was.
Should have sat us next to the bathroom.
We were garbage.
A riot. We were garbage people.
We were hammered.
You got in a the time before that you got in a fight with a lady. Remember? You got in a verbal altercation with the lady.
That's why I don't like going to restaurants where women are allowed
okay.
in.
Okay. Wow. See, that's the problem. They're in every restaurant. but I remember you made friends with the waitress the second time. You were better behaved.
Yes.
You know what? That was some her, though. You guys had a kind of like a, it was like you were tipsy, she was tipsy. And like
were
kind of like.
Oh, no. She was being mean to me, I think. And I just wasn't like having it.
It was. I think there was an odd kind of Mercury retrograde thing happening.
It was like either we're gonna have sex or fight.
Yes, we didn't know what was gonna happen. Me and the other people were just like, "What?
Are you guys dating?" I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. We did not have sex.
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be a very sweet origin story. I didn't know what like, because she was married too.
Oh,
she had a ring on.
Yes,
she was like being all flirty and and like
This is all coming back.
Yeah. This is doomed from the start, you bastard.
All right, so sitting by the bathroom, I'm with you on that. Any others?
I get the chip on my shoulder. I think it's a racial thing. To like, you know, I'll pass like six other black people in the restaurant, but I'm like, I know what this is. It'll be like Red Rooster, and I'll be like, I know what's happening here.
Is Red Rooster still good? I haven't been in a long time.
It's been a while.
Marcus Samuelson's restaurant in Harlem.
Yeah, the last time I went,
I loved it when I went.
It's delicious. There's another place called Norma something Ruth. Anna Ruth's that's up there? Something Ruth.
Is it the soul food place?
Yes. That's a little, I mean, to my palate, is much better than Red Rooster, but I know what people go there for. They go there for the atmosphere, the design. But Amy Ruth's, I think, is what it's called. And that place is just a little more like kind of has a homier feel to me. It's like a lot of ladies in church hats and things like that. You have to get there Sunday before 1 o'clock.
Okay.
Because Abyssinian Baptist Church, the biggest Baptist church in all of Harlem, lets out. And then you can see a wave of hats coming at you. It's like sales. Just church hat ladies. And you have to get in there before, like, because people like, la-da-da. I'm going to have the chicken and name your... No, you're not.
Jordan goes to that church and the usher seats him next to the bathroom and he's like, I know what's going on. I know what this is
have
about.
Have you been to... Oh, man.
I've never been to a Baptist church. I'd love to go.
You've never been?
Will you take me?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. I've been to many synagogues. This would be a wonderful cross-cultural kind of thing.
Yeah.
And plus, we got Passover's coming up. Mm. Passover's like now, right?
Passover's tonight.
Passover's tonight.
Sundown. Yeah. We will be slaying all the firstborns.
What
story of Passover?
Oh, the story. I was like, okay, this went weird. But the Passover meal, are you guys going to do brisket?
No, that's more of an Ashkenazi thing.
Right.
We are Persian Jews.
Yeah, you do actual fun food that
we
tastes
do
great.
Like fun, great food, yeah.
Yeah.
But
I'm going to Mexico.
My mom's braising some lamb. She's braising some lamb neck.
Oh, man.
Right now, which is going to be delicious. No more pet peeves, though. I'm surprised.
Okay, a couple more pet peeves, and I'm terrible. I hate when people are, I am a New Yorker, so I resent other people's happiness. So if a group of young people is there just jamming out, having a great time at brunch, I'm like, you know, like, solitude, anger, you know, like.
Oh, my God.
I'm terrible, right?
Weird like, pet peeve.
One of my pet peeves is happiness. If you were, if the decibel level goes too high, if there's too many hurts,
yeah,
it hurts my heart. You understand?
Yeah.
I don't like it.
Oh, man.
I want you to eat your meal in stony silence. Also, yes. Yeah.
Make this, don't ruin this Norman Rockwell painting that I am creating.
I'm one of those New Yorkers that wants library-like silence wherever I go. One of those
I don't care that drag queen bingo is going on.
Yeah.
I want silence.
I hate when my dining partner does the dad joke of like, they're like, we're out of the braised rack of chard. And the person will be like, that's it. We're leaving.
Oh, like, that's my move. I do like, all those dad jokes.
It.
I do a lot of the fake flip the table, which is a move I think I got from you.
Yeah.
And then I'll also love to do, if I finish the plate and it's all done, I'll be like, oh, it was awful. I hated it.
And when they say, are you working on this? Like, you know when the waiter goes, are you still working on this? Like it's an assignment?
Yeah.
This is your assignment. Welcome to America, where eating is work. I just also hate the kind of like the moment when you ask for the check. You know, because they're like, is there anything else you want? We got to fucking move this table, huh?
Yeah.
And you're like, just the check will be fine.
Yeah.
I guess I'll go.
One of my biggest pet peeves is when they take plates away. That should not be taken away. But also, if you're done eating and I'm not done eating and they take your plate away, I fucking hate that.
Yeah, they shouldn't do
take
that.
Take all the plates away at the same time.
Right.
Because I don't want to be pressured, man.
Yeah, don't
I
want to
eat at my pace.
I also hate when the tables are like slivers. They're just like sliver tables that you're like balancing on. You know what I'm saying? You're balancing your plates on. And they're like, we got like 12 plates of stuff for you. Figure it out, little engineer. Like, it's so horrible.
Yes.
I hate that.
Coming in hot. Here we go.
That I hate. I don't know what else. What else do I hate? I hate when people ask, when dining partners ask, like, the opinion of the waiter.
Oh, I'm
like,
I fucking hate that.
It's all good. They just don't say, like, which it's not like Minesweep. They're like, one of these is just a turd on a bun. Like, just order the food. If you feel like,
but there's a way that waiters have answered that question right.
Yes.
Like if you're like, tell me about this, and they're like, this is what this is. Or, oh no, if you say, I'm thinking about between these two dishes, the pasta or, you know, the steak. The right thing to do is break it down. Well, the pasta's going to look da, 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 and the steak's going to be this. Not, get the pasta.
Yeah. I like the pasta.
Fuck
Believe
you.
Me.
Who the fuck are you? Who is you?
Steak fell off the truck this morning. Like, I just feel like, there's also, but it's a New York thing. We're just so weird. We you know, like, I was in a shoe store, and this guy came in, and he goes, which one is the best shoe? Like, we always have to have the best. For what? What do you want the shoe to do?
Yeah.
Which is the best? Only the best for me. Assholes. Sure. I hate that. I hate when people say, you know what? I'm the kind of person, I'm the middle child, so I endure everything. So when people like send stuff back, you send stuff back. You wild man.
I will send stuff back if it doesn't come out the way that I ordered it. Of course.
They're going to fart all over the food.
What? No, they don't do that, dude. I've worked in a kitchen. No one does, especially a good restaurant, they're not going to do that. And if I order a burger, medium rare, and it comes well done, you would eat the burger well done?
I have eaten burgers well done if I don't trust the place.
No, but I'm saying if you ordered it medium rare and it comes well done, you're not going to return it?
Here's the thing about me. Don't really understand the difference.
Oh, my God.
That's why I eat with you. I learn a lot. I learn so much with you when I eat.
You think you know someone.
No. I learned so much.
I went to fucking Brown University, and you don't know the difference between medium rare and well done?
I think it's something with your fingers, the webbing.
I can tell you the Feminine Mystique was written.
Yes, I can tell you.
Seneca Falls.
No, that's the women's movement, you silly person.
I know, but I'm saying, you know. You're
Betty Friedan, I believe, lived in New York.
Yes,
so.
Betty Friedan lived in New York. That is a fun fact that you should know, along with what a fucking rare versus medium versus well done is.
I don't know what it is, okay? I learned a lot of things in a restaurant. You know what? You know, another pet peeve I have is narcissistic guys that go out on dates because, like, women are supposed to have the banquettes, right? And when a dude is sitting in the banquette and just talking about himself, he's like, yeah, we do like big load trades, you know what I'm saying? It's pretty cool. I enjoy it. Yeah, I went to fucking Penn. You know what I mean? Like, it's... And the lady
beef going on.
And the lady's always like, good, yeah. You know, like counting the hours till this is over, knowing that this is like, she's like, is this the best I can do? You know, like, it's horrible. Like, you have to sit, the man gets the outside, the woman gets the banquette, you pull the table out. I've seen it happen tons of times. Nobody pulling the table out. These people aren't gentlemen. You gotta be.
Well,
the streets are watching.
I will say, maybe we've reached a level of equality where the man can get the banquette as much as the woman can.
No.
Jesse?
No.
Jesse! Don't leave, Jesse!
No, there have to be certain reparations. There have to be certain reparations.
Okay, we have about 7 minutes for four more questions. We can do this. What is your favorite drunk food?
Oh, my God. Mm. Oh, my favorite drunk food? Probably, steak au poivre. What?
You're such a man of the people, Jordan Carlos. My favorite drunk food.
If it can happen.
Well, okay, some answers we've gotten so far. Taco Bell. Fries.
You asked
JC coming in with a steak au poivre. preferably with pink peppercorns. There's nothing like a steak au poivre.
It's a toss-up.
And by drunk, of course,
it's
you mean...
It's a toss-up.
I've had a little too much Saint-Emilion to drink.
You know what? It's a toss-up between that... and crawdads. I love crawfish. Give me a big old heaping bowl of crawdads and a beer and Dixie beer. Dude, I'm done.
That's fun.
I'm just like, and my position becomes like this.
That's
almost,
fun.
Yeah, dude.
That's
horizontal.
Fun.
So I can go high and low.
You eat the head with the crawfish?
Absolutely. Suck out the head.
Suck out the head.
Suck out the head. You suck up them gits. Get the molly. Oh, boy, I guarantee that's a good time right there, yeah. Like, I love
you
it.
You do a good Louisiana.
Well, you know, my people come from Louisiana. My granddaddy comes from Louisiana.
Oh, yeah?
But as they say in Louisiana, how do you know who your daddy is just because your mama told you so?
Ooh. that was before 23andMe.
That has to do with interracial stuff. All right. Go ahead.
That is the ad for 23andMe in New Orleans.
That is the ad for New Orleans.
I'll tell you how. They show an old black man. How you doing it? And then like some white guy in a suit comes out. I'll tell you how. At 23andMe, we use your saliva, not your mom's word.
I just love the great names. Thibodeau, Moon, Landru. Like,
what is your favorite hangover food, JC?
Oh, it has to be huevos, man. Gotta have the eggs.
See.
Little eggs. Eggs, avocado, toast is me. But ever since I did the whole 30, it's now I have to make a sweet green smoothie, throw in the kale in there, bananas, blueberries, coconut
tips.
Wait,
this is for hangovers? Oh,
even a hangover, it's good. I mean, protein, bananas. You need the bananas, the chia seeds.
Oh, we had another guest who was bananas, and I made fun of him. You know who it was? Ignacio Matos.
Ignacio?
Chef of Estella.
How dare you?
He was like, I like bananas. I was like, bananas? What the fuck are you talking about? You need some greasy. No, it's the potassium in the banana.
It's so good for you. It burns so clean.
I actually just had, I'm kind of hungover today.
And
I had, before we started recording, I went and got the old school deli egg and cheese on a roll.
Oh,
bacon,
gross.
Egg and cheese on a roll with ketchup. Dude, can't there's something it. About that bodega bacon, egg, and cheese. Oh, yeah. It brings back so much. It's so delicious.
And the cheese that they use, you
the
don't even ask
cheese,
about.
The shitty bread, but it all just comes together.
Oh, yeah. That's
so good.
Oh, you know what? Actually, there's a spot. I need to find the name of it. I'll find it after this podcast. It's a Dominican joint that we order from. So on the seventh day, we rest in my house and we order.
From the Dominican place.
Yeah, we order this Dominican place. And they've got this like amazing garlic sauce that will resets your clock. It's amazing. Dude.
I love a good garlic sauce.
Yeah, it's like they get the platanos, they get the tostones, you get the half a chicken.
See,
and it's like you just do the merengue in your house. It's unbelievable. My wife orders in Spanish, so they get it right. Me, I was like, I'll have the half chicken, please.
And they're like,
yeah.
And then you get like a roast pork sandwich.
Yeah, she just does a back and forth like. She sounds like Rosie Perez for a second, and then it's like the most amazing meal arrives at our door. It's a, she's a real New Yorker, my wife, so she knows how to order from everybody.
Who is your favorite celebrity chef?
Eddie Wong.
Eddie Wong.
Because I've hung out with him and I like his personality. I've never really had any of his food, but I like him. And I know that personality is infused in the food. If you have a great personality, the food's going to be great too. Mm.
That's I don't know much about him. I think what did he have?
Funny, dude. He had a restaurant downtown.
Yeah.
He still does.
Lower East Side?
Lower East Side. And then he wrote fresh off the boat.
Yeah.
And he's like just too hot to handle.
Good
like
for him.
Network TV was like, get out of here. Here's a check. We can't handle you.
No way.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, so that's nice. His life. So
he's like my dream.
He's got a million stories. He's a New York City kid. He's a lot of fun. I like people like that, that stay in New York, create something here, and can only exist here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I love those kind of people.
That's cool. I'll give you that. I need to know more about him.
Who's your favorite?
Mine? Mine is the TV personality would be Bourdain or Jacques Pepin. I love Jacques Pepin.
Jacques Pepin?
Oh, I'll send you a video. It'll blow your mind.
The French chef?
Look up the Jacques Pepin making an omelet on New York Times video. It's like one of the best food videos ever made. But
wasn't he the chef for Kennedy?
He was. He was a presidential chef. He worked for the prime minister of France as well.
Wow.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's old school.
You always got the deep cuts.
But I think that I hate saying this, but pre-Me Too, Mario Batali. I love Mario Batali.
You like him pre-Me Too?
Yes.
I think what you mean
before
is
he got caught.
Yeah.
No.
He was on a streak. I think I understand.
You know what I mean.
Yeah. Me Too withstanding. Yeah, I get it.
He opened my eyes to food, man. He did so much to help, I think, move the food needle.
He did.
And then he had to move his other needle. I saw him being creepy at fucking Spotted Pig.
Crocs.
Crocs.
Crocs has a lot. They have a lot to
answer to.
No. I mean, they owe him a load of thanks, you know?
Crocs are the creepy Me Too shoe now.
Well, no, they're also used by my dad. Okay, so I saw Mario Batali in Crocs. I was like, that looks like a comfortable old dude shoe. So I got him for my dad.
Even grosser. Imagine being manhandled by a dude wearing fucking Crocs.
That's gross. Ugh! I'd beat him with his own Croc.
What is your desert island food?
Oh,
you're on a desert island.
I'm on a desert island.
It can be either one dish or one thing, or it could be a type of cuisine.
Cajun.
Cajun?
Cajun.
Really?
Well, I'm like, my family's Creole.
You'd never get tired of Cajun.
Absolutely
huh?
not. I'm Cajun for Cajun. I love it. So you don't understand there's beignets.
Yes.
Chicory. You have your coffee however you want, Cher.
Yeah.
You know?
I've never had chicory coffee.
You never had chicory. You ever been to Cafe Dumont?
No, I haven't.
You never been to Cafe Dumont, no?
No.
Oh, boy.
You know, when I went to Nolens, actually,
It's just French cuisine, but with spice. It's
so
amazing.
Cool. It's probably the most interesting food culture in America.
It's amazing.
Is the Cajun food.
Yeah. We grew up in Texas, which has great food, but when we got, when we go to see my aunt in New Orleans, who would make us gumbo, make us etouffee, crawdad pie, all this stuff, it was just this kind of ratatouille amazing moment where so much, a whole world of cuisine was opened up to me. She's like, it don't stop there.
Yeah.
We get the beignets, and it don't stop there. You hungry, Cher? We're going to go get muffuletta down at the farm.
Oh, is muffuletta considered, I don't know if I consider that Cajun, but it's definitely New Orleans.
Well, that's the thing about it.
Love a muffuletta.
I think it's just it's a big gumbo, right? So that's the best thing. New Orleans is great because it actually is a melting pot city. I think that New York at times melts, but it's mainly a tossed salad.
It's but of very rich greens, very expensive greens.
Yeah, very expensive.
Little gem. There's a lot of little gem, a lot of frisée.
Oh, yes, absolutely the frisée in your mouth. Yeah. Don't forget the rocket.
All right, so we don't call it arugula here. We call it rocket.
Rocket, like they do in Australia. Yes. That's an Italian dish.
Yeah.
You know,
for those of you who don't know what a muffuletta is.
Muffuletta is a
soft bread.
Soft bread.
Every piece of the pig.
Mm-hmm.
You got your ham, you got your soppressata. It hits you right here. Remember the A1 steak sauce commercial?
Are you kidding me? It's right there.
You get all that. Yeah. You get an olive tapenade situation. Mm-hmm. Oof, it is so good. Go get yourself a muffuletta.
It's a wheel. It's a wheel of a sandwich.
It's so good.
And you don't get nothing done there.
Mm.
I mean, well, that's New Orleans. It's a Big Easy. You don't do anything.
Yeah.
So, which is great. I love that. And
all the crab that they sell. I love a good crab pie, crab meat.
All right. Yeah, man. I'm with you. Yeah. I want to be on that desert island.
Gator!
I want to be on that island with you. No, you lost me a gator. I had it. Didn't love it.
Wow.
Final question.
Please.
Jordan Carlos, what is a food that you can't stand? We'd like to end on a negative note here at Green Eggs and Dan.
Carrot cake.
What?
It's disgusting.
Wait, are you serious?
They have to put a warning on carrot cake.
Are you kidding me?
You know what the warning on carrot cake is? When name me another cake
you broke
where they have
heart.
To put the contents of that cake in icing on top of the cake. Warning, there's shitty carrot in here.
Wait, it's so the little fun carrot on top?
Yeah.
It's
disgusting.
My God. Dude, literally.
Why am I eating vegetable cake? You know what the opposite of a carrot cake is?
What?
A red velvet cake. Everybody loves it. It's great.
It's bullshit.
Shut up.
It's not a chocolate. It's a chocolate cake.
With red in it.
It's racist because they're like, no one's going to want this black cake. Make it red. How could you fucking fall for that trap, dude? It's a chocolate cake.
It's so good. It's
for
first
white
of all,
people.
It's
cocoa. A chocolate cake
it's
for
cocoa.
Racists. It's Richard Spencer's favorite fucking chocolate cake.
I grew up with that guy, and you know what? It was. True story.
Oh, we'll get to that on another podcast. Jordan Carlos, always a pleasure. Love you so much. Thank you for giving us your time.
Thank you.
And anything you want to plug?
Sure. My podcast, Adulting.
I forgot to mention that in the intro.
Dude, it's going to be debuting on WNYC starting the 21st. I host that with my co from Go, Michelle Buteau. We record it down at Union Hall. You guys can come check out the Union Hall calendar to see when our upcoming shows are. I also am on a Netflix series, which will remain nameless. But it's super scary and has to do with your phone.
Yeah.
And then
it's called Butt Rubbers Who've Made It.
Yeah, Butt Rubbers Who've Made It. And then I'm also on an Apple Plus show that has to do with
a lot of secret
puppets.
Projects going
puppets.
On with JC.
Furry puppets that are very nice.
Guys, Jordan Carlos is one of the funniest comedians I know. Seek him out.
I am.
Find him. Oh, man. Humble. Humble as well. Seek him out. Oh, what is your Instas and your...
My Insta is The Realer Jordan Carlos. It's a joke. And at Jordan Carlos on Twitter. Find me there.
Very good. Jordan, love you so much. Thank
you. I love
you.
You.
All right. Bye.
What, are we on the phone?
I don't know. I don't know how to end these. Let's go eat. We're going to go eat, I think. Or we're going to have coffee. This episode of Green Eggs and Dan was produced by Andrew Steven. Executive produced by Jeff Umbro and The Podglomerate. You can find more of their podcasts at thepodglomerate.com. Special thanks to Caitlin Moldenauer, More Banana Podcast Network, and Kill Room Studios. To see pictures of Jordan Carlos's fridge, information about the restaurants mentioned in today's episode, and more, follow me on Instagram and Twitter at StandUpDan. The theme music is Beautiful Food by Idan, and interstitial music by Breakmaster Cylinder. If you like this show, please tell a friend, share an episode, and leave a rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
The Podglomerate. A Sonic Universe.